going on evening. So I think I wanted to finish up the students I had in mind to do this last year, but the buzzer rang, so I didn't get to do this. I wanted to do this tour we're supposed to have went up to. There are a couple very nice points, and then we're going to actually delve into the main topic of tonight. The Gemara says on the top of Kaf Beis Amud Aleph 22a, V'am Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, who is Rav Kahana's most famous disciple? Yeah, edited the Gemara, Rabbi Ashi. So Rav Kahana quoted Rav Nasan Bar Menumi, Mishmei de Rav Tanchum, in the name of Tanchum, Mai Dechsiv. Torah tells us, talking about when Yosef was thrown into the pit, V'habur reik, Ein bo mayim. Mimash v'shenem of our boy reik. If you say it's an empty pit, empty means empty. So we know there is no water. It says our boy reik. Eino yodea shein bo mayim. Does the Torah think that we're imbeciles and we don't know what empty means? I say it's an empty cup. So I just have to say it's an empty cup. There's nothing. There's no water in it. An empty cup means an empty cup. Same thing by a pit. It's an empty bed. There's no water. So why the redundancy? It says the Gemara, Elama Tamaloimar. What does it mean to tell us, to teach us, in Bomayim, that there was no water? Mayim Ainbo, water there was not. Aval Nechashim Vakravim Yeishbai. There was not water, but there was snakes and scorpions. So says the Gemara that when the Torah means to tell us, to tell us there were other things, it was rake from water, typically a well. What do you associate with a well? Water. So yes, it was empty from water, but it wasn't empty from scorpions and snakes. I once saw an unbelievable Torah Tumima. Torah Tumima, of course, was the famous Baruch Epstein, who has a running commentary on all the five books of Moshe. And in that, first of all, he cross-references many of the Gemaras, many of the Midrashim, A. But B, after he does that, he has on the bottom his own commentary and his own explanation. So the Torah Tumima says an unbelievable thing. Listen to this Torah Tumima. Gonna see how, or Baruch Epstein, by the way, was the younger son of the Aruch HaShulchan, who was a Rav of Nevarduk, who was a brother-in-law of the Netziv. Art School many years ago translated his Makor Baruch into a book called My Uncle the Netziv, because he was a nephew of the Netziv. He also, besides being a first-rate Torah scholar, Baruch Epstein was a banker. He was a banker. He was a person who worked. So he's a remarkable commentator. Listen to what Baruch Epstein says. Habor reik ein bo mayim. The pit was empty. There was no water. It says the Torah Tumima. Tzarech loimar sheruvein ve'echav, that Reuven and his brothers lo yadu shebebor yesh nechashim ve'akravim. You have to say that they were not cognizant that in that pit there were snakes and scorpions. Why? Because whose idea was it to throw them in the pit? Whose idea?
Reuven.
What was Reuven's idea? Shahare chashav al pi'etzazu. Reuven thought, lahashivo el aviv. He would be able to bring Yosef back to his brothers. Ve'igam echav. Listen to the Torah Tzima. And also the other brothers. Reuven had in mind to
save
him, to delay it. The other brothers had not decided that. That's a fact, right? They deliberated when he was in the pit and he was screaming to sell him. The original plan was to kill him, right? But then they had to turn it around and they decided to sell him. they threw him in the pit. So he says, if the brothers would have known that there were snakes and scorpions there and they would have seen that he was saved, imken zuchuso gadol. Right? Because we know the Gemara says that if a person is found in a pit of snakes and scorpions, they have a chazaka that they died. They would die. So if Yosef, when they pulled him out of that pit, if Yosef would have lived in a pit, right, of snakes and scorpions, he would have had a zchus gadol. Then they would not have treated him the same way and sold him afterwards, right? If they threw him into a lion's den, like Daniel, right? And he survives. They would view him. Actually, we thought he was a wicked person. Right? We know that the brothers, up until the fact that Yosef revealed himself, Chazal say, they thought Yosef was guilty. And it was only when Yosef would reveal himself in the house of Paro that they changed their mind. But if they would have seen, and they thought Yosef was trying to kill them, and they thought Yosef was guilty. But if they would have seen that Yosef was thrown into a pit of snakes and scorpions and survived, they would have done tshuva. They would have said, oh my goodness, he's really righteous. Why? Because we see that Nebuchadnezzar was a Rasha Mukhlat, says the Torah Tzvimah. Nebuchadnezzar was a complete Rasha. And when Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, when thrown into the iron fiery crucible and survived, so Nebuchadnezzar thought of to do tshuva at that point. Certainly the brothers, remember, when Nebuchadnezzar throws Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah into the fire, he thought it came to them. But when he saw they lived, he said they're obviously righteous. Certainly if the brothers would have known, says the Torah Tzimimah, that Yosef was righteous, and they saw him survive, because there were snakes and scorpions, they would have done tshuva. Since they didn't do that, it must be they had no idea that in that pit were snakes and scorpions. The brothers would have had no ideas. Don't be surprised that they were not able to see into the pit. Masha Kasim of Farish in Mesechus Tamid, Sof Perakama, Din Hashlocha, right? The language is they threw him in there. And whenever you say Hashlocha, it's what the Pasuk says, Via Kuhu, Via Shlichu, Oso Haborov, Haborik Eboman. They took him and they threw him into the board. So the Gemara says, when you say the language of Hashlocha, it's at least 20 amas, which is 40 feet. So it says Veshlicho, the board is at least 20 amas. What did we say over here by Ner Chanukah? Right? What do you say by Ner Chanukah? The eye can't see more than 20 amas. You can't put your menorah more than 20 amas high, right? So we see that Vayashlichu, they threw him into the pit. They could not see more than 40 feet down into the pit. They had no idea there were snakes and scorpions there. And had they known, they would have done tshuva. Or Reuven would have never thrown them there because he would die. The Kai Milan, as we sat over here, over 20 hours you can't see, says, Atayra Tamima, by the way, don't think that this Gemara is haphazard. What is this Gemara? It's connected to the previous Gemara. Vabor Reik Eimbo Mayim, says Atayra Tamima. You never know this, by the way. You think you have one Gemara, right? And it has nothing to do with the previous Gemara. It's a nice Gemara. By the way, you can have like a good Hanukkah Torah right here. Says Atayra Tamima, there's a juxtaposition, is this, that the Borek Emomai Nechashu Kavim Yeshbo, and how do you know the Nechashu Kavim that they didn't know about? It's because they had no idea that there were Nechashu Kavim there. But if it would have been less than 20 amas, they would have known. But just like you can't put the menorah higher than 20 amas high, that's what the Torah Tanima says, the connections. And then he quotes that the Gemara Nevamah, if a person would fall into a pit of snakes and scorpions, that you couldn't even testify that they died, the woman doesn't need to get. You see a guy fall into a pit of snakes and scorpions, you can assume he's dead. But the whole Gemara says it's Twitter, that's just a very nice, I saw it in a different context. But we learned this Gemara, you know, this is typical. We learn a Gemara, there's two dots, oh, it's a new idea over here, it's a new sugya. No. It says it turns to me, this Gemara highlights the previous Gemara of 20 amas. Okay? Sagt weiter, so furthermore, Amar Rabba. Rabba was Shiva Shiva where? Lakewood. Near. What? Pumbedisa. Right? Amar Rabba. This is Rabba Bar Nachmani. Near Chanukah. The Chanukalicht, the Menorah. Mitzvah. Lahanicha. Betefach Hasmucha LePesach. If we're going to light by the door, which is the best way, which you saw earlier, you should light it in the tefach near the door. The whole house should be consumed in it. So which side do you put it on? So Rav Acha Borei Derava Amar Miyamin. Rav Acha, right? Rav says you put it on the right side of the door. Rav Shmumi Difti, Amar Mismol. Rav Shmumi Difti says, no, you put it in on the left side of the door. We paskin halacha lamaisop. Mismol, we put the menorah, when we light, if you go to Israel, they're lighting by the door, like the Ikar halacha. We light by the left. Why is that Sakti Gemara? Kedei, Shetaner Chanukah Mismol. On the left side of the door, you should have the menorah. On the right side of the door, you should have the mezuzah. The door should be surrounded by mitzvahs. Says Rashi, mitzvah la'anicha, whether b'chatzer or b'shus harabim, you do it ha-tefach ha-samach le-pesach. Within a tefach, how big is a tefach? 3 to 4 inches, right? Depending on who you hold by. So 3 to 4 inches of the door, she'im yecharkana l'halam in a-pesach, in a nicker b'shabal bayis ha-nicha shem. You won't know for sure if the Baal HaBayis put it there, or it's by his door. Miyamin, what does it mean from the right? On the right side, walking in. B'knisas l'beiso, liyamin. You walk to the house on the right. Mezuzah, kaimalan, di biyamin, dechsiv beischa. We know that this is actually a Gemara, right? The Gemara learns out that the mezuzah has to be on the right, and you can't put it on the left. And if you do put it on the left, you're not yaitzei. The Gemara has a limud. Of course, we know Misina, this is a halacha, but the Gemara says, where do we learn that from? Derech bi'ascha, the way you walk. And you walk right for first, inish kar li'min at akab resha. So the menorah is on the right side, the mezuzah is on the right side as you come into the house, and the mezuzah on your left as you come into the house. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a shultus. The shultus is shultus derech achai goyin. Rav Achai Goyim was one of the great Goyim between the 8th century. Says Rav Achai Goyim and Shultis, his language is, Rav Achai is just a few hundred years after the Gemara comes out. He says, he has a different gear set. He says, you put the Hilchasa mismol, you should put it mismol, kishetia nerchana kamismol, umezuzah miyamin, and the mezuzah should be on the right. And let's see his actual language here, just so I get it correctly. It says the Shultis. It says the Parshas Vayishlech, U'Baal HaBayis Mitzuyas B'Taliso B'Nam. And he should have the Baal HaBayis, the person lighting, should be covered up with his tzitzis, with his talus, between the two. And he should be completely submerged in missions. The Ishe Yisrael, is one of the great Rabbanim from Lithuania in the 19th century. Says based on the shultis.
I don't follow what it means. He has to be covered up with his talus. He has to wear the talus when he lights the candles. Is that what it means?
That's what the shultis says. Mm-hmm. He's wearing his talus over his head. He's wearing from during the day already.
In those days they wore the taluses all day long.
But says the Ishe Yisrael, who's this great 19th century Lithuanian rabbi. He says, you see from here something that all brachas, you should be covering your head. You see from here, like the Gemara says by kosher bracha, one of the things you should have by kosher bracha is ituf. You should cover your head. And the Ishe Yisrael says, you see this all over the place. He quotes a Rambam. Rambam says in tefillah, right? Rambam says in Ilchas tefillah.
A second covering,
besides a kippah, that's right. He says, Derech kol chachamim v'tamideim shlo yispalu ela kashen atufin. Right, that the derech of all of chachamim and their students is like they don't only daven if they're atuf, they're covered. The Kesef Mishnah, who's the Mavis of Karu, actually quotes the Gemara on Shabbos. Look at the Gemara on Shabbos in Daf Yud over here. Let's look at the Daf Yud. We have it over here, so we can actually look it up. So the Gemara says, if you look at Taisus Rami Puzmaki, right, go directly across that. You see Ki'ika Shlomo, it's talking about Rav Ashi. So I'll look at Amar Rav Ashi, yeah? Chazina L'Rav Kahana, same R Rav Kahana we just got here. Yud, 10A. 10A, go about a line above Rami Puzmaki and Taisus.
Oh, okay, got it. Sorry.
So Rav Ashi said, I saw my Rebbe, by the way, didn't I quiz before who's Rav Kahana's greatest student? Ravashi, right? So here you have Ravashi seeing his Rabbi, Rav Kahana. Ravashi, of course, is the editor of the Babylonian Talmud with Ravina. So he says, "I saw Rav Kahana ikatzar ba'alma when there was a travail in the world. Shad a gleam took off his coat. Parchiyadi clasped his hands umatzli. Amar ka'av the kamimari. I'm like a servant in front of my master. Kikashalama. When there's peace and a normal day of davening, lavish, he gets dressed in maskasi, we all covered up. Umisatev, he puts the itof, covered his head, umatzli, and he would daven. If you look at the little misatev, right? See a little hay there? So the Aimishma quotes the Rambam, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah. Everyone says from here, you see that you should do itof by davening. In fact, the Rambam says in another place as well. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, Lamed, Perek Lamed, Halacha Beis. Listen to, by the way, how the Rambam says they have covered Shabbos. Says the Rambam, Ezu covered, Zesh Sha'amru Chachamim, Shemitzvah La'adam, Lirchot's Panav before Shabbos, you should wash your face. Yalda Viragla Bechamin, and hot water. By the way, hot water in the days of the Rambam was not an easy commodity. Surely you have to go to a bathhouse. It wasn't like you just walked into a shower over there, right? Why didn't they cover a Shabbos? Because Shabbos. And then says the Rambam, Misatif Betzitzis, V'yoyshe Bekavir Reish, Shetzitzit Bekavir Reish. The Ishei Yisrael also quotes the Mordechai, who says, Akedekach, if you do Shechita without a head covering, the Shechita could be piggle. Like, literally, things like that. Why am I saying this? Because today, you know, it became a hashkafic issue. Like, who wears a hat? Who wears a double covering? And really, again, I'm not saying one has, but there's a strong idea to cover one's head beyond, certainly, shachris, to wear a talis, which I've spoken about before. But even my mincha amarev, it's nothing to do with, I don't care if it's a purple hat, a black hat, a blue hat. I mean, today, it became like a person identifies themselves on how they dress. Leaving that aside, the reason I'm mentioning this is because, unfortunately, it purely became a hashkafic issue. But if you look at the Rishonim, at the Gemaras, there's a strong basis to cover your head for davening with a hat or a sudar, right? Whatever color hat you want to wear, right? Or fur or material. That's not the point. The point is it's considered ituf is a strong Jewish idea. The Shulta says, and it's brought down certainly by davening. L'kol ha'pachas, at least by shacharis, when you're wearing a talit, a person should certainly cover the head. I only bring that down because, again, today, you know, it's an interesting shultas, which he brings it down, but it's interesting that even the people who wear hats, they're not wearing hats while davening, by the way. Many of them are not, they're wearing it because that's what they associate with. But forgetting what a person associates with, we should know what the Rambam says, we should know what the Shulta says, we should know what the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Yud says, that there's a strong idea to cover your head. Actually, Rabbi Eisen, for example, who is here, was wearing a gray hat, if anyone noticed. Mm-hmm. He's certainly not a yeshivish person, big Talmud Chacham, but he wear that. I'm positive he's wearing that because of these kind of Gemaras, that one should wear a hat to cover their head. In the old days, everyone wore a hat. Till 60 years ago, if you look at anyone's pictures, they're wearing these little hats today in any way, form, or fashion. I'm not necessarily saying to wear a hat, but what I am saying is that one should be cognizant that covering one's head, whether it's with a talis, certainly if you're shliach tzibor, for the tzibor to daven, whether it's mincha or ma'ariv, one should do ituf. That certainly, because that's already a kavod. But even in regular times, it's a very strong inyan to cover one's head, regardless of one's hashkafa. That is certainly not my intent to discuss tonight.
But Rabbi, you don't have like equal hashkafa with like Rav Kahana, where in times of distress, where we
In fact, if you look at the Gemara, the Rambam only picks up on the ituf. He doesn't. Good question. He doesn't even. No, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch do not follow that, because by us, most likely, we're not as distressed as Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was real, right? You know, the reason we do Ituf is for extra concentration, for Yirah Shemayim. Actually, when we learned Hilchos Tzitzis, we discussed this Shulchan Aruch over there, Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Yosef, they all stress to cover one's head. I went through the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. All of the great Machronim say that one should ideally cover their head for Shemona Esrei and for Shema, even better, right? Forgetting to consider other parts because of Yirah Shemayim, because of feeling close to Hashem, being under the Shechina. And again, I just brought this down because today I look at it as like an unfortunate reality that became hashkafic, overran the halachic issues involved, and it's different. People want to differentiate themselves today. Again, I'm not saying one has to. I mean, what I am saying is that one should know that's a very strong Indian in halacha. That's which is important for us to know. Okay, now I hope that people saw the tour because the tour says as follows: Tav Reish Ayin Aleph. Okay. Says, who's the Tor? Remind me, please. Rabbi Yaakov Bal Tor. Who's his father? The Rosh. Who is his Rebbe? The Rosh. He's the Rajba. So the Tor, of course, went with his father from Germany to Spain after the kidnapping of Marami Rutenberg. The Tor is the first codification of the our system of halacha, like we have it in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Tor actually, I'm going to start it over here, but we're not going to harp on this part. We're going to focus on the other part. Umitzvah anicha. Okay? Everyone say umitzvah anicha v'tafach. It's on what would be Sif Zion in most of the Torahs. Umitzvah lahanicha v'tafach ha-samach la-pesach. We just saw that in the Gemara. Just put the menorah a-tafach samach la-pesach. Mismal, on the left side. Kidei sh'tiyah mezuzah mi-yamin. The mezuzah should be on the right side. V'nir chanukah mismal. V'nir chanukah should be on the left side as you walk in. Because of Avia Ezri, the Avyah says, Shmi'ei mezuzah v'pesach. Let's say you don't have a mezuzah on the door. Why? What kind of door would not have a mezuzah?
Too short?
Too
short?
Not
high enough.
It's not opening to an
space. It's not opening to a livable space of Dalet Amos. Maybe it's a doorway without a door, and it's small, whatever it may be. Right? So let's say there's no mezuzah for whatever reason. And the smack says the same thing. You should put it on the right side. If there's no mezuzah on the left, on the right side, you shouldn't put the menorah left. The whole reason says that, and the way that Ari Ezra understands it, is the whole reason you put it on the left side is to be surrounded by mitzvahs. But if you only have one item, there's only putting a menorah there, the right's always preferable. The right is, right, the Yamin wins. Nothing against the lefties, by the way. Says Avi Ezri, on the default, is if you don't have any mezuzah, you put it on the right side. The safer
mezuzah. So normally, we put the mezuzah on our front door. That's the door we go in and out to our house.
Right.
But this is a door that's leading into like a closet or something.
Whatever it may be.
But it's not a livable place. Place you would put his mezuzah because it's the only one facing the street. Is
exactly. If you have something like that. Exactly. Right. And the, you know, I don't want to harp on how that would be. It's be very uncommon, but let's imagine that's the case. With a sefer mitzvah katan, who's a Rabbi Yitzchak Mikorvel, kasa shemanich b'del tzatzma, manichena bechatz shol knis l'tzad small. If you put it on the door itself, in the frame, you should put it on the left side. Now, I'm not doing that. Here's what we're supposed to focus on right now. Now comes a tour. One line. We don't. This is like our first. The Rambam doesn't say this. Not brought down in Maimonides. Not brought down in the Gemara. Not brought down in the Rif. Not brought down in the Shultus or the Achai Goyin. Mm-hmm. Not brought down. We don't see this. We have an introduction here. Says the Torah of a base haknesses. He doesn't even tell you to put it. That was a mitzvah for the shul. He just says in the shul minichin b'darum. Put it on the south side. Why the south side? Zeich le menorah, in memory of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, Shahai Sibidarum, which was on the south side of the Heichal. Okay? That's our introduction to putting a menorah and lighting it on Chanukah in the Shul. Doesn't even tell you he's an Indian. He like puts it in passing. Says the Beis Yosef, Umash Kosov, Now, why in the world? Now, the tour gives a reason, right? He says, put on the south side. Why? Zeichel menorah. It sounds like, according to the tour, the reason we do this is in memory of the menorah, which is on the south side. But that's, he only tells you what side you put it on, where you light it. You don't light it by the door of the shul. You put it on the south side of the shul. It doesn't tell you why, really tell you where this started, why it started. Why one perhaps would say a bracha on this? Says the Beis Yosef Cairo, Nira Shetiknu Kain, Mipnei HaOrchin. Maybe we were misakas because of Orchim. She'elahem bias lahalikbo. They have no house. Ukmosha tikpnu kiddush beis haknesses. Mishim Orchim. Just like their misakin kiddush in the shul. If you go to Ashkenazic shuls in Chutz Laretz, a lot of the shul that I grew up in, they make kiddush Friday night for the shul. And Motzei Shabbos they have dala in the shul.
For who?
For the guests. One second. You never went to an Ashkenazi shul. It's your first one. We don't do it here. But if we do it, we're going to make you do the kiddush first. So you can experience it. And by, usually it gives to the kids. So I drank that kiddush many a time. You get a new group in a shul like that, you drank the kiddush, right? Yeah, it's part of growing up in a shul like that. Is you drink the kiddush.
My son is missing it.
He's missing out. It's a tradition, yeah? So, kumosh tikkun kiddush is a kness mishum orchim. The achliv shas because kness. We're not doing this right now. I will point out that today, the old days, the guest house were in the shul. People slept. They had, the shuls had guest houses. People literally ate and drank in the shul. Today, even after, that's no longer the custom for generations already. Even the Ramah and Tshuva and the Rambam, the Ran, actually the Rambam and the Tshuva, and the Ran and Tshuva says, the Tekana still stands. And we make Kiddush in the shul, even though no one's there, for the people who potentially could be there. That's not our topic today. According to that, even today, if this is the reason, you would light menorah in the shul, which means, says the first reason the Beis Yosef is bringing down, right, is this reason. He says, the Kolbo, who's the Kolbo? Well, the Kolbo is an abridged version of the Orches Chaim. Who's the Orches Chaim? Orches Chaim was Rabbi Aaron Melunel, a great late 13th, early 14th century sage. Rabbi Aaron Melunel. Orches Chaim is one of the great works which is quoted in the Beis Yosef consistently. He was Rav in Provence, moved at the end of his life at Majorica. I'm just reminding you in case anyone forgot that. Right? The Kolbo is an abridged version of that. Some people say that he wrote it, others say he didn't. Kolbo is an important work, which is quoted very often. So the Kolbo says its reason, that the reason is, in case they have guests. By the way, would that really, does Sfar make Kiddush in the shul?
No.
No, right? So, but, so do you have menorah in your shul? In your Sfaric shul, you grew up, you have menorah?
No, as far as I remember.
You didn't have menorah in shul?
Honestly, I'm not a good example.
You're not an example, okay. You did. You don't remember.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there on Hanukkah. Marv, okay.
Is it planned that the Orchim were beginning their mitzvah?
Like technically speaking, in the old days they would sleep there. It's like you being in a dorm. They were lighting for your dorm. That's how you're Yotze. Others want to say that maybe we're not doing this right now. Yeah. At some level, you could be Yotze even if you weren't sleeping there.
I'm
not.
Ashkenazi light in shul. I know that.
What?
I know the Ashkenazi.
Sfarim do also. I've been to Sfarim shuls on Hanukkah. They do. Machaber says that way. We're going to see in a moment. Kasev Hakobo. Now it brings another reason. Kasev Tamacher. Another reason why we light a shul. Shehu kedei lefarsim hanes to publicize the miracle. Bifnei kol ha'am, in front of everybody, l'sader ha'brachas lifneihem, and to say the brachas, sheyesh bezeh, pirsam gadol l'shem yisparach, v'kiddush shmo shemavarachem oysom akeos, that chazal or mesakin, that you want in your house, it's families, family, 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 family. Remember, we 3 weeks ago, we talked about pirsumi nisa, spreading the wealth of the miracle? So maybe, at some level, you're missing some pirsumanis. So we wanted to have it in shul where we great personalities, when it's not just individuals lighting there on the front doorstep or in their, or by their window. It's the whole tzibur lighting together. That's a greater pirsum of the Nes of Hanukkah. So we're masakin to do it for that reason, to light publicly. Who's the Rivash? Who's the Rivash? Jonathan. Who's the Rivash? Glasgow, I don't teach you these things. He was from Spain. The Rivash was a Rebbe Bar Sheshes. He was a Rav actually in Valencia, Spain, when the massacres of 1391 happened. It was 100 years before the Inquisition, before the expulsion. And he ended up running for his life, like many others did. Ended up in Algiers, and it was the chief rabbi of Algiers for the last 15, 16 years of his life. He's one of the Migdoyle Hador, from the greatest sages of that generation. So the Rivash says, he actually asked. He actually, if you look at the Rivash inside, he was asked that by somebody, where the Kobol says first, is the reason that we light in shawls because of guests. And because the guy didn't like it, and the Rivash says, I agree with you, that is not the reason we light in shawl. There's no way that we're lighting in shawl because of any guests or whatever. So what's the reason we light in shawl, says the Rivash? Says the Rivash, you know why we light a menorah in shawl? Haminak hazeh lahadlik bebasik nesh. It's minhag v'sikah. It's an old minhag. So Rivash was in the 14th century. He says this is a really old minhag. Humishim persumi nisa. And it's because of persumi nes. Why? Says Rivash. Kevan shein anu yechoyel lekaim hamitzvah kitikuna. We can't do the mitzvah properly. Lahadlik koecha bepesach beso. Neshiyaro bestekifah. Rivash is coming from Spain. No, both in Spain. And even in Algiers later on. Anyway, there was no freedom of religion. You didn't wear religion on your sleeves. If you would have let your light outside, they could have taken the menorah and thrown it at your house and burned to 11. They would have been prosecuted, right? We didn't. They lit it inside their house. So what happened? So nobody saw. There's no pirsum hanes. Remember that? There's not really, people were lacking essential pirsum hanes in the Hanukkah light. Right? Going back to what we learned 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Says the Rivash. Therefore, we light in the shul. And we make a bracha. This is what he says. U'mevarechim alzech, kamo shemevarechim alhalal. We're mesakeh to do it. And by the way, we do a bracha on this. I make a bracha on this. Just like halal d'rosh chodesh. You know why? Because according to the first piece of kolbo, there are people being yotzei in shul, guests. So that's a good reason to make a bracha. According to the second reason, which we brought down, of... it's a gezeira. The whole point is to make a bracha publicly, right? That there should be a public lighting in shul, right? But according to this, right, is the only reason to do it is lacking pirsum hanes, which means everyone was yotzei in their house according to Rivash. So why are you lighting in shul? Because we didn't have pirsum hanes. We're lacking pirsum hanes. We didn't have pirsum hanes. We lit in our kitchens. That's what they used to light. You can't imagine. They lit in their kitchens. By the way, if you'd be light, can you imagine lighting in Syria today? You would light your closet. You close the door. You close all the shades. You're not going to all... Is Meshugayim running around there? Right? If you would have lit in Russia 50 years ago, what happened if you lit by your window? Time of Stalin in Moscow.
You got knock-knock.
You got knock-knock. And you were never seen again, right? You know, you ended up somewhere in Siberia. So, it was dangerous to light. So says the Rivash, you know why we light it? We light it because we're known as Pesunei. So, how in the world do you make a bracha on that? You were yotzei in your house. There should be no compelling reason to make a bracha if that's the case. No one's being yotzei. There's a good reason to make a bracha, says the Rivash. You make a bracha because this became the minog. And it's like, how will Rosh Chodesh we make a bracha? And Mikol Makom, says the Rivash, there's no way you can be yotzei the basic knesses. Ain't on the yotzei of it. Sarch lachs or the halik kolach of the basal. You're not yotzei with that. There's no one. There's no havamim to be yotzei. All the lighting is shul is an extra piersum hanes, an extra publication of the mitzvah. Do not think you can light in shul and listen. There's no ability to be yotzei. That's simple because neirish ubeso. The mitzvah is on your house and you're not living there. It's not your place. Nobody's living there. So the Rivash says, yeah, we light in shul. The reason we light a shul is for to get the pirsum as we lacked otherwise, and you make a bracha. It's a minhag. The minhag we can make a bracha.
So he disagrees with Kolbo because you're lighting because of the guests. Supposedly should be yotzei.
Right.
He's actually saying.
And by the way, an afkamina would be that according to the Rivash, there's no way. There's a discussion in the Kolbo. Let's say let's say you're not sleeping there. Is it possible to be yotzei at some level in a shul? Let's say. You are an Israeli working for Intel. You were staying in a hotel last night, and you're going to be flying out the red eye that night. Could you be here in shul? Is there any idea that you can be yotzei at all? The Chayiv Sadar actually discusses this. Not so simple, but there are opinions that perhaps you can be yotzei at some level. According to Rivash, you're not yotzei at all. There's no way you can be yotzei in a shul. A shul is not your house. It's not your house. There's nothing here to it. And even when the Kolbo's reason would be if you're sleeping in the shul. If you want to sleep in the shul, you know, maybe then. Right? Okay? Just look at the dark Moshe real quick. Hey. says because of HaKobol, to HaMinag LaHalik VeBeis HaKnesses, the minag is to light in the shul ben Mincha LaMarav, between Mincha and Marav, with Erev Shabbos, and Erev Shabbos Malikin Oysam Kodun Tfilas HaMincha, we light before Mincha. Kach Kosev Abu Raham, the great Rav David Abu Raham, the great Spanish sage, says on Erev Shabbos we light before Mincha, because we don't want to get so close to lighting afterwards. V'chenu b'maharil. And then he says, V'af enu no'agin elef b'erev Shabbos, ma'likim b'tulilay between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Lastly, he brings down the maharil that k'shirabi mei Chanukah, it's like the fifth night, sixth night, seventh night of Chanukah, the Shlech Tzibur can light it. And so, and he could start saying the bracha, light one candle, and then go up to David, and the shamash could finish the lighting. The first person who starts does not have to finish the lighting. This is not pertinent to what I want to do. I just want to do the ma. Now, everyone, I said I should have a Mishnah Berurah. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Tov Reish Ayin Aleph. Okay, if Zion, if you're an English person like today, it's page 278. Okay, you got in the middle of the base of Knesset. Everyone see that by the asterisk? In the middle of the Sif, of the Beis HaKnesses. Got it? Mm-hmm. Says the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, of the Beis HaKnesses, because he's talking about where you put it in your house. Right? So the Beis HaKnesses, Manicho Bekosol Darom, you put it on the south side of the shul, of the wall. Now in our shul, we put it on the south side, but we don't, there's a Mechitza there, so you put it right next to the Mechitza on the south side. Oh, b'darom ha-menorah, u'masadron mizrach, we light it from east to west. Now, here's what we need to see. U'madlikin u'mevarachim e-beis ha-knesses, says Rabbi Yosef Karo, we light in shul, we make a bracha in shul. What's his reason? Mishum persum minisa. Sounds like he's following the rivash. Right? Now, I didn't say this, but the Kobo also says the reason of Zeichel HaMikdash, right? Of Zeichel HaMikdash. So, but at one level, he says put it on the south side, like they did, because that would mean that we light the shul like the base of Mikdash, which is like the Torah sound, Zeichel HaMikdash. But here he's telling Mishum Pirsumenis, which is exactly whose opinion? The Rivash's opinion, right? And then he says, Ramah then points out, the Ein Adam Yoytze V'Neir Shal Beis HaKnesses. Don't think that if you light in Shul, you can fulfill your obligation. But Tzarech Lachzer, I actually had the honor of lighting for the Mir Yeshiva. When I davened in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, my seat the whole year, I davened against the wall. I was on the right wall, right, which was the south because the Mizrach was there. I davened on the wall, and above me the whole year was the Menorah. Right above me was the Menorah. So Purim comes, the first day of Chanukah, 2,000 people. I get to light the Menorah, right? Light the Menorah. Fine. But I was not yet to the Chavasa. We'll see, perhaps could I make new brachas in my house, in my own apartment or not. But a fact that I lit it there did not make one difference. We're not Yotze. Who does the Ramah call for that? The Rivash. Like the Rivash. Right, like the Rivash, that a person is not Yotzei de Chovatso with the basic Knesses. Okay, first, let's just see the Be'er Halacha. The basic Knesses, Manichu B'Koysol Darum. Everyone see the Be'er Halacha? Same place, Tav Reish Ayin Alav Zayin.
Yes, which is Be'er
Halacha? There's no Sif in Be'er Halacha. It's on the side of right next to basic Knesses. Be'er Halacha. We base a Knesses. Got it?
Yeah.
No, almost is not good enough. Oh, there you go. Okay. Oh, Beisa Knesset says the Berlach. Who's the Berlacha? Chavtzayim, right? Says the Berlacha, the Mishnebura, the Zafi Lizvan Gemara. Shayim I'm Alikim Luchot, so Pesach Abayis. Hacham Alikim Bifnim. Do the farthest of next problem. Says the Berlacha, even at the time of the Gemara, when they were lighting outside, right? He would light inside. For parts of nice problem. That does not sound like the Rivash, does it? No. The Rivash said, why do we light in the shul? Because we light indoors on our kitchen table. Who does this sound like? This sounds like the second opinion, which is the kobolds, that you light in the shul, that you should have one lighting, not just our families lighting by ourselves, they should have one lighting for everybody! That's what that sounds like. He says, the truth is, Mechaber should have first Hayatzarach Lavar B'tchilah Shatzarach Lalek Beis HaKnesses. The Akar Kach Malkam Hanichas. So, first should have told you there's a mitzvah to light in the shul. Then tell me where to light. Is it? He first tells you the place to light. He says that, Ella, Shafi Shekamar Le'el B'tchilah Hasif. The mitzvah Lahanicho B'tefach HaSamach LePesach. There's a mitzvah to light B'tefach HaSamach LePesach. Ka'amar to the base haknesses in the shul we do zecher lemikdash and we put the menorah on the south. Now that, by the way, sounds like a cholent would be called because we learned the base haknesses. He took three reasons and mushed it together in a certain way. Darom is zecher lemikdash. That was one reason of the kobol. The lighting publicly where everyone should see was a different reason. And the Rivash is the way the Ramad's coming out in the Mechaber. So he's taking it and putting it together. Fine. Go to Mishneh Berurah, Sifkat Mem Daled. Everyone see that? Says the Chavetz Chaim, Umalikin, Mevarachin, right? We light the menorah and we make a bracha. After the Beis HaKnesses Hurak Minhaga, even though in the shul it's only a minhag, Mikol Malka Mevarachim Alav. Nevertheless, we make a bracha on it. Kamoshim Mevarachin Al Halal Drush Chaydish, She'enu Ela Minhag. Now he says just like we make a bracha on Halal Drush Chaydish. Which is Eino Elaminik. By the way, if you look at Taisvus, there's about three Taisvuses on this. I'm just going to quote one briefly. Taisvus and Tanis Chavtes, you know how this Taisvus, 28b. I'm going to recommend everyone take a look at Taisvus Tanis 28b. Amar Shmami Na Minigav Oseim Beidem. The Gemara here is talking about when you say Halal in the Chavtes and Beis. What are the deliberation? When do you say Halal? When do you not say Halal? And they talk about Rosh Chodesh. And Rav says he went to a place and they were reading Hal on Rosh Chodesh and he said it with a bracha and he was going to stop them. Yeah. He was going to stop them, right? Yeah. Right? So he says, oh, no, they're not skipping. So he says, Shmam not minig of a say, excuse me, he saw they skipped some things. Minig of a say and be a dam. So Taisus here, is one of four Taisus discusses it, says, you see here, maybe you don't have to say a bracha on a minhag. What's the question, say a bracha on a minhag? Why would that be a problem? How in the world, Taisa says, Yisashar Kirishanu, that God sanctified, Vitzi? Vanu. God didn't command us a minhag. A custom? You're going to say God commanded us to do a custom? That's not a command. How can you say a command on a custom? A minhag? Taisa comes first says, no, there's no bracha on a minhag. Then Rebbe Tam says, come strong, there is a bracha on a minhag. I'm going to read the end of Taisus, but it's a worthwhile Taisus to see. Chav Ches and Beis Amar Shemal Na Minhag Avaseh Meidem. Taisus quotes Rebbe Tam, maybe since we pass like Rebbe Tam. At the end of that, he says, but don't bring a rye from a Rava, like we go around by a Rava on Chol Hamayid with a Rava, he says that minhag is just tiltal, it's not a big thing, but on a big minhag like saying Hala or something like that, then we'd make a bracha. Then he says, V'chen halacha l'maisa, we pass like Rabbeinu Tam, we make a bracha on haminug. Okay. Vilafiza says Tanis Yeshazar, Shuladar Be'em Sahalal. Don't speak in the middle of halal. Somebody asked you a question. Don't speak in the middle of halal. Kevin Shabirich, once you make a bracha, because we're making a bracha. Dimkein Mafsik, it's a hefsik. It's a bracha on the whole, on all of halal. You can't speak in the middle of halal, even Rosh Chodesh. Venirat came the Yachem Uchil, the halal, right? So, just like on halal, on Rosh Chodesh, you make a bracha. So to here, you make a bracha. That's what the Chaver says. You make a bracha on a minhag over here. That's what Chavetz Chaim wants to say. I'm going to hold. There's a lot of halachas here. We don't have the time, but I want to delve into this question. On that, everyone look at Shari Tshuva up about Rabbi Margolis. You see that Umavarchin number Yud 10. Shari Tshuva 10. Yud, you got it? Judge, you have it.
Does the yud have brackets around?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Then I got it. So it says, I am the berhetev. See, the berhetev. Umasha kotsav. B'shem ha-chacham tzvi. Now, this is not Howard Klein. This is the original chacham tzvi. Right? The chacham tzvi, the gadol hador from Deutschland, from Holland. The father of Yaakov Emden. He looks at this machaber and he can't believe this. Right? He's bothered, right? How in the world does the machaber say here, do you make a bracha on lighting a menorah in a shul? The machaber says on laws of Rosh Chodesh, you don't make a bracha. Do you make a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh? Shira. You make a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. You make a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. You're an Ashkenazi then. But the Mechaber says not to.
For
halal
on Rosh
Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh.
Also.
Sakhari
didn't.
Nisakhari. I'm not talking about confused Jews. Identity crisis.
In the Siddur, there is a bracha in the Siddur.
Ah?
There is a bracha.
That's for Yom Tov, not for Sfarim.
For Yom Tov?
For Rosh Chodesh is not Yom Tov.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Rosh Chodesh.
No, for Rosh Chodesh.
Sfarim do not make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh because the Mechaber says it's a minog. How, right? Mechaber is actually going, like, not like a bit of Tom. He goes like the first period of Tesis. Chalmsei says, why not? Manishtana, Rabbi Cairo, please be consistent. On Rosh Chodesh, you say, don't make a bracha, because we don't make brachas on minog. All of a sudden here, lighting a menorah in shul, you, Rabbi Cairo, for the Sfardim, say, we make a bracha. Make up your mind. Do you make a bracha on a minog? Do not make a bracha on a minog. Right? Pick something and be consistent about it. And then the Shara Tshuva says, even the Rivash, right? The Ravash says that we make a bracha on it, and he says explicitly it's a minug, right? So he says in Kedem Machaber Shpatzah Hoshos Chayish Karambam Shekhen Ogim Eretz Yisrael Shosem Mikhail Yidu Ein Lavarch Bnei Beis Knesses, right? It should be that the Machaber would hold we don't make a bracha on a minug, just like by Rosh Chodesh you don't like a bracha on lighting in the shul. I've already done. But according to us Ashkenazim, we pass like Rabbeinu Tam, then we make a bracha on halal Rosh Chodesh, because we pass and we make a bracha on a minhag, right? Kama chacham tzvi ma'ida the shaper mevarchem on eretz basic knesses, right? Everyone would say you do it, okay? So you hear the kash of the machaber. The question of the machaber is where's the consistency? How come on Rosh Chodesh you paskin that you don't make a bracha, and here in shul you paskin that you do make a bracha?
Rosh Chodesh, it's because it's a minhag we don't do the bracha.
Yeah, minhag. So that's the Gemara. It's all based off the Gemara.
Is the Mechaber saying it's because of persumenism?
Ah?
Because of persumenism. It's not only minhag, but it's also persumenism.
What is it? The reason you don't say a bracha is because you can't search your kishon v'tzivanu that God commanded us to do this. Nobody says, by the way, as I point out, the first time you really see this custom of lighting a menorah is in the Torah. It's really one of the first sources. You don't see it in the Gemara or the Goyim. How do you start Sivanu? God command. God command.
We see. Do we see halal for Rosh Chodesh in the Gemara?
The halal Rosh Chodesh is the Gemara, but the Gemara clearly calls it a minog, and that's why. That's why, by the way, Tosis deliberates to make a bracha or not. And other Rishonim as well deliberate on it. But there you do see it.
I think it'd be more likely then we would say the bracha for us,
Kodesh. Yeah, maybe even more so, right? Maybe even more so. Wait, no more ideas. Because I want to actually get to Shlomo Zalman Arbach's idea. Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Mincha Shlomo. If anyone wants to look up afterwards, it's even marked over here. It's Simon Ches. Gimel Hay. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a beautiful explanation. He says, you know what the difference is? Why the Mechaber holds by Minhagim, like say Rosh Chodesh Halal Rosh Chodesh, you don't make a bracha, and by the Menorah you do. So it says Shlomo Zalman Arbach, because if the halacha is based on a pre-existing chiv, that you're just moving to another setting, right? So then you can make a bracha. So in Menorah, right? In Menorah, especially in the Rivash, we have a chiv. Everyone makes a bracha in their house. That's the din d'rabbanan. Then we make a bracha in our house. So now we're taking that din d'rabbanan and putting it in the shul. It's connected to the etzem din, which is chayiv and bracha. So in that kind of minog, you can make a bracha on. But if it's just a minig balma, which came saying halal Rosh Chodesh is not based on anything, but that we're happy it's Rosh Chodesh, right? He brings down the same thing, but you can't make a bracha on that. Same thing, by the way, we read Ashkenazim do this, not Sfardim even. We read Kohelis on Sukkot, right? We read Shira Shirim on Pesach. We don't make a bracha on it. It's a minig assault for the Ashkenazim to do that. Why don't we do that? Because there's no intrinsic source that you have to do that.
Some people do.
What?
Some people do say
bro. It's a gra. Which is not. But that's not the minig oil. That's only a farts on a kosher megillah and stuff like that. I'm not going to go into how the gra. What the lumness of the Vilna Gaon is. That's true. It's a Vilna Gaon, but that's not the standard opinion. Really, Rabbi Shlomo Arbach is really saying the same thing as the Tosfos Rebbe. The Tosfos Rebbe is a Shai de Trani. Shai de Trani also is talking about actually on Sukkot why we don't make a bracha on the Arava. So the Tosfos Rebbe was a Rishon says this nearly kol davar shunoi chayva, right, which is be'etzim a chayva, but we expand it. Like menorah, we take it into the shul for persuming nisa. That would make a bracha, and that minog is be'etzem achiyav tikkum. Then you can make a bracha. Make it. This could go on haftorah. Shnoagis shachris chovel. There used to be a custom. To say haftorah by mincha in places. Okay, so you say why can you haftorah mincha make a bracha? It's only a custom because there's a din in the morning to say haftorah. And for that reason, you can make a bracha even mincha. He says by halal. He says why is it that halal, which Rabbeinu Tam holds, and Ashkenazim hold? Why is it that halal you can make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh? So he says it means the Rabbeinu Shlomo Arbach is not dealing with this. He's trying to answer up the Machaber. The Rid says, you know what? We can say halal with a bracha, no questions asked, because be'etzem. Hollow is something, a concept we have the whole year. It's not a new concept. You're just taking that concept and applying it to Rosh Chodesh. You're taking this din hollow and applying it to Rosh Chodesh. But he says if there's a makom that you do a minog, like reading Megillas Antiochus in many places, in Italian shuls, there's something called Megillas Antiochus, which is a work about talking about that. We wouldn't go ahead and make a brach on that. Right, because that's just a minig, which without any primary source from. Is the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Arbach clear? Yeah. His contemporary, Rabbi Avadya Yosef, in Chazon Avadya.
What is contemporary?
Same time.
Rabbi Yosef says in Chazon Avadya, an interesting thing. Says Rabbi Avadya Yosef in Chazon Avadya. No, you know, I'm gonna answer Maran. I'm gonna answer Shulchan Aruch. Why does Shulchan Aruch say on Rosh Chodesh We don't, by challah, we don't make a bracha, but we do make a bracha on lighting the shul. He says like this: when the, depends how the minhag starts. If the minhag starts by the hamon am, the people start doing something. And he, I want to make a diuk from the Gemara there that by challah rosh chodesh, he understands the Gemara. The people start doing that. Rav sees the people doing it, and he doesn't want to stop them. But it didn't start from the chachamim, so that kind of minog, you can't make a bracha on. But if it's a minog which the chachamim were doing already b'mei chazal, and he wants to bring a proof that lighting menorah was one of those type of minhagim, so it's something which the chachamim were doing. It's in the mitzvah to listen to the chachamim. If the chachamim have a minhag which spreads to the people, just like there's a mitzvah to listen to the chachamim in general, it's a mitzvah in a Torah or mitzvah d'rabbanan. So to hear it's a mitzvah, you can go ahead and make a bracha. That's how Rav Avadya Yosef answers it up. Either way, it's a very difficult or bekaro. A lot of other people discuss it, but the halacha is by Sephardim they make a bracha in the shul, even though they generally don't make a bracha on a minhag. Now, I wanted just to discuss a couple other small things, just from the opinions that we learned. In many shuls, including Am Echad, we light by Shacharis. We light by Shacharis. We come here, we don't make a bracha. No shul makes a bracha by Shacharis. Right? We light by Shacharis. Why do we light by Shacharis? We just had all kinds of reasons. Give me a justification to light by Shacharis. Why? That's the minhag brought down the Prima Gadin, the Binyan Shlomo, the Malam of the Hayol, and other sources. Why in the world? What? Do you like by Shacharis? Have you seen a way we like by Shacharis? You've been here for Shacharis before, Jonathan?
So you don't have any Suffolk. So,
will you ever think about it? Why we like by Shacharis? Suffolk? What's Suffolk? Do you light in your house by Shacharis?
No, that's why for sure you don't have to do any bracha, because it's Shacharis.
But why light? Waste the will, Baal Tashchis. What? We just learned. For the guests, for Pirsume Nisa, there's no mitzvah. For the everyone should light together.
Anybody?
Well, what's it, from where? From what? Why? All there is. Oh, based in English. You know why? So then the Sfarim bring down. So we light by Shacharis because in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the candles were still burning by Shacharis. So if it's Zecher LeMikdash, for that reason, there's an Indian to light by Shacharis. Okay? So there's an Indian. So that, only for that reason. For the other reasons, there's no reason to light. I don't think that Sfardim light by Shacharis. I've never seen that. And the reason is because they're not following. They're really following the Rivash. If you follow the Rivash, right, which is Pirsume Nisa, there's no Pirsume Nisa in the morning. It's like blowing shofar today. It's not the time, right? You know, it's like when he's filling at night. It's just not the time. But if you learn it's a Zecher LeMikdash, right, if it's Zecher LeMikdash, so in the basement, the candles are still burning in the morning, so we want to have our menorah, which is on the south side. By the way, we saw even a few weeks ago, one of the reasons that Ron says you don't benefit from the lights of the menorah is it should be like the Zecher LeMikdash, just like you can't benefit from the menorah. So we want to have that Zecher LeMikdash. So if the reason we light in shul is because it's like the Beis HaMikdash, right, then we would light in the Shacharis, of course, without a bracha. That would be the only rationale, and that's the rationale that some of the poets can bring down. The other reasons are completely not relevant to light in the shul in the morning. Another difference in these opinions, it's an important difference. You light the menorah in shul. Okay, let me tell you what happens. Okay, you light it. We light it typically at 4:30 mincha, 7:50 marv. Okay, 7:50 marv comes. 7:50 marv comes. We have a marv. Okay, 15 minutes. Rabbi Levine speaks. Depends how much mercy he has. But you know what? When it's 7:15, I speak less for one simple reason. In the summer, when it's back to back, I want marv to be delayed into at least into Ben Hashmashas. I don't want mincha marv back to back because that's halachically not so good. So I try to delay marv. But in the winter, when marv is 7:15, it's not next to mincha. There's no reason to delay. So I want to say dvar mosar, but I'm not going to speak for 10-15 minutes. I'm speaking for 3 to 5 minutes. Right? There's no reason for that at that point besides Torah. But so 20 minutes, we're done. 22 minutes. Usually, how long do the candles have to burn?
30 minutes.
So what's the story of the shul? And do we let the candles burn?
Somebody has to say.
But was there even an Indian? Maybe we can blow them out right away. Right? So, what do we do? So the Malamed Lahayol says, the Malamed Lahayol, so anyone know what Malamed Lahayol is? Where's your German pride?
That's from Germany,
honestly. Where's your... David Zvihoffman, the Rosh Hashiva in Berlin. Right? The great Rav of the Holdersheimer, Rosh Hashiva, Holdersheimer Yeshiva.
I'll pick on Philip tonight.
Huh?
I'm going to pick on Philip tonight.
He's traveling. He has an excuse. So, David Malamed Lahayol says, of course you can extinguish it. Why? Because the Machaber said, what's the Machaber? What's the reason we did it? Presumi Nisa. It's not you're not Yota Yudei Chavaso. Nobody's saying that you're Yota. It's not your Chiyav in your house. Presumi Nisa. You lit it in Shul. Everybody saw it. You had your Presumi Nisa. When everyone's going home, you can blow it out. There's no reason, says the Malamed Lahayol. Machaber says the reason we do it. We do it for Presumi Nisa. It's all over by Presumi Nisa. Right? I feel the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, well, she passed away, is one of the elder sages from Bnei Brak, a Hungarian sage. So Rav Vosner said, no, you should leave it because people could be Yotzei Ydei Chovaso. People are like the first reason, the Kobo, for the guests, for if anyone's being fulfilling the obligation at any level, right? That they for them, they if it's a chiv. So for them, if you learn the reason you light the candles is for someone to fulfill obligation, then you should leave it for the full half hour. But if it's just for Presumi Nisa, the truth is Malamed Lahayol is for most shuls is there's no reason to let it go, right? You can blow it out afterwards, not a problem, right? Because there's no fulfilling of obligation. Is that clear? It's just for Presumi Nisa. That's where life is. There's no reason to let it go, forgetting any safety issue. One more nafkimina, one more difference in opinions is, could you have a kid light it? Could you have a boy before Bar Mitzvah get up there and light the candles? Well, if it's Presumi Nisa, you don't need a Baal Chov to light it. You don't need somebody to be a Baal Chov to light it. And even a kid can light it. That's what the Minchas Chasidus says. But if, again, it's for someone to fill the obligation, or it's because maybe you want b'makelos that everyone should go ahead and make their bracha. So then, or even Zeichel Mikdash, right? Because Zeichel Mikdash, who lit the kids like the menorah in the Mikdash? Absolutely not, right? It's to be a Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, meaning Kohen, who is a Gadol, not the Kohen, right? So too, all of these different reasons have different permutations in Halacha, and they all come from this Beis Yosef. L'maizel Halacha, we try to be Machra, like the Be'er Halacha does for the different Shitas. The only thing I would say is that in general, like the Malamed Lahayol, there's no reason really to let it, unless you know somebody will be sleeping in the shul, there's no reason to let the candles continue to burn. Otherwise, you're good. Okay, any questions on this?
Yeah.
The shiur's over, if anyone wants to stay, it's me.
Zech LeMikdash.
Yeah.
Can you blow it
out? So Zech LeMikdash...
No.
We don't blow them out, do we? No. So the thing about Zech LeMikdash is, you see the placement in Zech LeMikdash. You see that we do it in the morning, Zeich LeMikdash. So you can, and it's just like Presumi Nisa, you see you can be Yotzei with a small amount. There's no, it's not an obligation of a half hour. Yeah, it's to do it, Zeich LeMikdash. So you could blow it out for that reason.
The Mikdash, they would burn.
Right, and in fact, those places that light in the morning, not all places light in the morning, they're assuming you wanted to show that the menorah was still burning in the morning. So you could argue there would still be a reason to let it light, but you don't see that in the place again.
You don't see how much more so is the Zechel Mikdash at night, and that should be the primary reason why we light at night.
Right, so, but you see that reason is not the reason that the Ramah or the Machaber go like. The only time they really go like that is by the position of the menorah. That you see clearly, they say Zechel Mikdash. The Orchas Chaim, the Kolbo, says that Zechel Mikdash is the main reason we do this. But they don't bring that as the reason. They're always bringing the Rivash as the main reason that we light, as Presumei Nisa. Or if you'd have people sleeping in the shul, like the Kolbo would say.
But all of them, regardless of what reason they're bringing, all of them would agree that because Chazal said that you'd light, they'd make the bracha.
But it's not so simple, because again, the simple reason is a minhag, and that's why it's a kashan the machaber. So I don't have a problem making a bracha in a minhag, because there'd be no tam. Paskins that we make a bracha on a minog. Not only by this, we make a bracha on a minog on Halal Rosh Chodesh. happens to be, it's a discussion that's, that maybe Yom Tov Sheni, if you call it a minug, it's not a minug, but it's the Rabban, maybe that would be. There are other things that are discussed as well. Like maybe there's a minug, we may make a bracha if it's a serious minhag, which is done by all of Klal Yisrael. So, right, so I don't have a problem. Mechaber is really problematic. Mechaber generally says, Asher Kitchen Mitzvah Savat Sivan, we do not make brachas on minhag. Right? And so, therefore, according to Mechaber, you have to figure out what is this reason we're making a bracha in a basic Knesset.
Well, I'm going to use the same extension. First thing for Hallel, because all year round, when we do make Hallel, we have to make Hallel, we make a bracha. Therefore, on Rosh Chodesh,
the way Rabbi Caro would understand it is that the Hallel whole year round has nothing to do with Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Who can't say Hallel all the way around?
You say that's why we make bracha.
What?
I thought you said that's why we make
that's bracha. That's what the Tarsus Rid says that, not the Mechaber.
So, wouldn't he also say then that the reason why you make the bracha when you light? And sure, was because you're making a bracha every time you light all year round at home or at home. Therefore, since that's how you light, you make a bracha.
So that's how Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is explaining the Mechaber, that the reason we light make a bracha on Shlomo is because it's based off already a pre-existing obligation, and that's why you can make a bracha on Shlomo as well, which is an interesting approach.
Yeah. Put the menorah inside shul. Right, it's not outside for everybody to see. Maybe you put it in the morning. It's inside shul. So why does it matter? Why is it not Pirsum and Nisa? Why does it matter if it's morning or evening? You don't see it in the outside.
Pirsum and Nisa is for the people in the shul, for all the daveners. That's Pirsum
and
Nisa.
And they don't see it in the morning?
What? Mm-hmm. It's not the time of the Nisa. It's not the time of the miracle. We don't light it. You don't light in your house. Nobody lights. There's no mitzvah to light Hanukkah lights during the day. At all.
But part of Pirsum and Nisa is just to remind you of the
Nisa. Do you blow shofar at night to the night of Rosh Hashanah?
No, but you would still see it in the morning. Why do you think that it's still going to be Pirsum and Nisa because you see the menorah?
Why?
Even though it's not
the time. Pirsum and Nisa needs halakhic trappings. It's not whatever you want Pirsum and Nisa. It's, right? Let's go back to the four cups, whatever level of Pirsum and Nisa is. Do you do four cups in the morning of Pesach?
No.
Why not? Because it's not the time. You're not the Seder. Hanukkah, we learned from the beginning, is at night. That's what Gemara says.
Yeah, but just the concept. You say you.
No. There's no. I don't walk around with a menorah in my car either. By the way, I'm not knocking those who do. My point is not to knock that. That is not persumines. They may want to say it's kirov. Chabad who does that, and then maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. But the point is, there is no mitzvah. They get zero persumines for walking off a menorah in a car. If you walk off a menorah in your shirt on Hanukkah, maybe you're spreading the wealth, but you're not getting Pirsum Anais.
Yeah.
Same thing like in the show in the morning. And you may be reminded, you could play dreidel also and call it Pirsum Anais. There's no connection. There's no mitzvah to light the menorah during the daytime at all. Not at your house, not in the show, nowhere. So why would it be in the Pirsum Anais? The way the Binyan Shlomo and other bring down the Prima Garden is because as a Zeich HaLemekdesh with the menorah was still lit. Nothing to do with Pirsum Anais. At all.
It sounds like it wouldn't matter then what time, how early you light in the morning also. It's you know, Hello says late in the winter time, so we won't be lighting it in the morning time, perhaps we're in the shul before also Shachar.
Yeah.
It's burning.
Yeah, we're not making a bracha anyways. Yeah, it's point. Yeah. Whenever we're davening, yeah. The point is to do it, the minhag, we do it during davening.
Yeah,
that's it. Again, that's for sure a minhag.
Yeah.
That's a minhag, it's not a universal minhag, it's a common minhag.
And there would be also no time on the shir either. If you have a 22 minute Shachar, you could.
No. We have other problems, but no, we have the problem with this. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Maybe just because of the position of where it is in the Torah. The Torah never said anything about actually lighting in the shul. It just said where to position the menorah in the
right.
shul.
Right. The Mechaber says, the Beis Yosef starts saying,
about
well, where does this come from to light? Right. And again, the reasons have differences in halacha. Right. Why? And again, even in the Mechaber, you have to say, understand why he's making the bracha, especially in the Mechaber.
Yeah, sure.
What the rationale should dictate, because if you follow the first opinion, which is the Kolbo, for guests, so that means, according to that opinion, if the Mechaber were following that, you can only make a bracha in the shul if you actually have people sleeping in the shul. Which means that in no shul today, could, according to the Mechaber, could you make a bracha, right? Because there's no guests there, lechera. That's how it would come out.
Yeah. Right. So all shuls light at night?
Yeah.
Universally.
Mechaber Ramah, like you recovered.
Not all light in the morning, though.
What?
Not everyone will light in
the morning. No, many do, but not all. Yeah.
For head, just out of curiosity, for head in davening, why is it becoming a hashkafa issue? If it's such a strong halachic issue, why is it a hashkafa? Everybody's looking at the
hashkafa. Because certain groups do one thing, so if you want to say, I'm not part of that group, you don't do that. my only point, so like sometimes like even with like the Torah to me, I picked in the beginning. The reason I picked that is to show you the Gemara has a continuation. Don't think that they're just haphazard. The Gemaras are next to each other. My point with that is to say, it's an important point. First of all, to show you that it's Shaltas Shashita. But I honestly lament when Hashkafic things take away from honesty of halakhic realities. And it's universal. Everyone picks and chooses a little bit like this, right? But the reality is head coverings. Like, you go to certain shuls and nobody covers their head with a talus. It's ridiculous. I can prove anyone, any day, that, not from a chakras, talus, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, for hundreds of years, Rishonim, Acharonim, everyone should cover their head by talus. But why don't they want to do it? Because these type of people cover their head by talus. What the world does that mean? Right? That's like so silly.
Does Marath of Rambam said Tamid Chachamim and Tamidav?
He's Rambam's telling you that this like, is the Shulchan Aruch is not also, yeah.
So Mother Marav should be covering her head.
So again, it's not my push. I mean, I didn't talk about that push wearing hats or certainly, who Yishlech Tzibor should cover their head if they're wearing a talis for Mincha and Marv. Absolutely. That's covered at Tzibor, that's covered for the Tefillah. If you're wearing a talis, you should cover your head. But my only point was to show that this is a concept which the Isha Yisrael was a grand, you know, brings down. It's a halachic reality. It's not a chiyuv, but it's certainly a good, strong idea. And that today people associate hashkafas with how they dress completely. You know, they want to be there independent. They don't want to associate with certain things. So my only point is you still should know where Chazal stress. You know,
it's also very lovely.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why the Rishonim said that. Because you have this idea of Yiras Shamayim on you, of focus. Also, by that Gemara and Shabbos Yom, which the Ketzet Mishnah quoted off the Rambam, that whole Gemara, that Daf Yud and Shabbos, is talking about preparation for Tefillah, Hikun Likras, Elo Kalach Yisrael, preparation for davening. It's not only that it causes your Shemayim, but anything you wear special for prayer is an added for prayer, right? It's an added thing for prayer. So by the Chassidim, they put on a gartel, right? That's one of the things they do. That's actually based on that Gemara there also. They put on a gartel to separate up and low, but also as a preparation for prayer. It's actually the Gemara they put on a belt over there. Right? We wear belts, so, but that's what they do. So in certain places, if you go to yeshivas, they all put on their hats. If you're like the Mira Lakewood, they're all learning yeshiva, comes Mincha Ma'ariv, the hats come on. They're not wearing it when they're learning. They wear it for davening. That's basically sources. I only wanted to stress just to see, you know, we're doing why we're doing things, and you know, and sometimes we do the opposites of what we should do for reasons that aren't always gavaldic, you know. So, you know, everyone has to choose what they want, but at least to show that this is a concept that Chazal stress, our sages stress. And that was my main point of showing that. But certainly, someone davening Mincha Ma'ariv should have it. And again, the reason why the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Ches, and I, a couple years ago, Shal Shus, I went through it at length, all of the places to cover your head to do Itu Fatalis. And then I try to show all opinions hold that way. Is for that reason. But that's by Shachris, where you have a talus. They would say that really, ideally, even by Mincha Ma'ariv, to wear a hat or a covering. Again, I'm not saying you have to do it, I'm saying it's a chiyuv, a mitzvah, but there's certainly a strong inyan to do that.
For the Shlech Tzibor by Mincha Ma'ariv, do you say that either for the talus is better than a hat, or the same at that point?
It makes a difference at that point. I mean, most people, if they have a talus, they cover their head with a talus and they have the hat, but it doesn't make a difference. It's a comfort zone. You know, the minhag is, if you're a bachar, obviously the example in yeshivas, so bachars don't cover, don't wear talis to do it if they're married, so they would wear a hat in that kind of case. But again, I wasn't trying to show hashkafuk either way. All I was just trying to do is highlight that you see this as an Indian, and sometimes, you know, we should just know what Chazal say, and forgetting whether we wear blue shirts or pink shirts or white shirts, because that stuff is also very important, by the way. I also think it's important. But my point was, it's important to do things with knowledge more than with affiliation sometimes, at some level.
Was the Yud Aleph, was it, in Shabbos?
Yud, Daf Yud, is a great Gemara. That the whole first, that whole top part of that Gemara there, all talks about prayer and preparation for prayer. It's a beautiful Gemara in general. And then actually, It has nafkaminas in halacha. Again, we're not learning that amud, but it's also brought down in several places there.
Yud?
Yud Aleph. Okay.